It's so great to have you with us this morning. It is my privilege to introduce to you a good man. You don't often get good men, but this is a good man. Jean-Pierre is going to be sharing the word with us this morning. Let's put our hands together with him. Our heart is really to raise up people in the church to be effective ministers of the gospel. And so every now and again we give a new man an opportunity to go for it and to grow. And we've just been so blessed with JP, with his growth over the last year or two. And just his and Kim's heart, you know, they love God and we love them a lot. And so just open your heart and I'm sure it's going to be a word from the Lord. Amen.
Yeah, good morning, church. Thanks, Andre, for the great intro. I think you only get one of those if you preach or leave the church. So I'm glad it's not the latter for me. It really is such a great honor, such a privilege for me just to be able to share the word with you this morning. In case you're wondering, I am sharing the word. I didn't just miss my cue for the announcements. I've been upgraded. Feels like I've traded in my old BlackBerry for a Samsung Galaxy S4 or that other phone. I think Clint, you've got one, I think, eh? What's that? Apple. Okay. Just a disclaimer. I think I feel it's only fair if I just warn you that my years as a theological scholar at seminary school don't quite add up to the amount needed to actually preach. In fact, they amount to nothing. I'm completely unqualified, completely untrained. I'm just a Christ follower with an opportunity and a word. And I believe that if you open your heart this morning to receive, you will be blessed. Okay, so I just want to open up in prayer for us quickly. Father, I thank you for this morning, Lord. Just thank you for another beautiful day surrounded by your creation, Father. And I thank you that of everything you created, you are most proud of us, Lord. Father, I pray that this morning you would speak to us about who you intended us to be, Lord, and who we are not, Father. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You reign and rule in this place, Lord. I ask that you just come and use me as a mouthpiece, Lord, and you speak through me this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, so the other evening, I arrived home, and every morning I leave and I close the gates usually, so they're locked up for the day. My wife leaves before me. So I arrived, and I knew she hadn't been home, and I knew she wasn't home yet, but the gates were open. So cautiously, I sort of stopped outside the gates, did a quick loop around the perimeter just to check that everything was okay. And everything seemed fine, so I got back into my car, came through the gates and sort of parked in front of the garage. And at that point, I noticed that our front gate on our house was closed, bolted, but I could see that the lock was hanging open on the bolt. So at that point, my heart sort of dropped a hip-hop beat, and my breathing started to shallow. But luckily, in my car, I keep a sort of, not one of those. it's a length of a hydraulic hose that is, it's pretty thick, and it's actually reinforced with, like, it's got wire in the wall of the hose. So it's a pretty serious weapon. And luckily, I haven't had to use it often. Our neighbor's grandkids, they live out of town, so they only come, you know, about twice a year. So anyway, I grabbed this sort of pipe, and my fingers fitted nicely into the well-worn. I mean, you know, I tried to really get a good grip on this thing. Approached the gates. Obviously, it squeaks like any good gate does. So I edged my way in. And now I'm standing in sort of a entrance foyer. To my left is a door that just leads to the garage and like a laundry area, and in front of me is our front door. So now, if there's anyone inside, you know, the surprise attack is already out the window. They've heard me drive in. The gate's been opened. They know I'm there. So as any self-respecting man would do, I'll sort of muster a tribal roar from the pit of my stomach. With my baton waving in the air, I crash through the front door, and immediately I realize the power of a good story to really grab the audience's attention. So this morning, sorry, there really is no end to that story. It's completely fictitious. Although if I were to probably dream up an ending, I would probably find the maid standing in the kitchen, because of course it's Thursday, so it's maid day, and she'd be carrying a stack of fine bone china gold rimmed plates, which of course would come crashing to the floor, and I'd then be on the phone to my wife saying the maid's locked herself in the bathroom and won't come out for fear of the white shock of Zulu. So this morning I just want to share with you about a message that the Lord has really been laying on my heart, and as I've delved deeper into the topic, he's really opened up quite some interesting things to me about who we are and who we aren't and what that actually means for us. You see, I believe that each of us is born with a set of talents. We have our own personalities, our own character traits. We have physical attributes, likes and dislikes, dreams and passions. And I think from those things, we start to craft for ourselves an identity. We start to define ourselves. I'm an accountant, surfer, farmer, lawyer. I think you would agree with me when you say that one of the first three questions that get asked to someone is, what do you do? You know, it's what's your name? You know, where do you come from? What do you do? What's your career choice? How do you fill your time? And as a society, I think that's just how we relate to each other. But these aren't things that define you. These are simply things that explain you. And I believe a lot of these things that we are born with and start to develop are from God, naturally. As the scriptures say, we were formed in our mother's womb, knit together, with all the moments laid out before us before a single day has passed. That's Psalm 139. If you're and I think although those things we are born with, a lot of them as we develop are influenced a lot by the world. If you're a good rugby player, it's not enough that you just wear your PD pants and togs on field. Off field, you must have your Adidas trainers and your Puma sweatshirt. And out in the evening, you need to have your Lacoste golf shirt and your Guess jeans on. If you wish to define yourself as a rugby player, you need to actually be identified as one. That's what the world will tell you. So my first question to you this morning is, with what are you identifying? How do you define yourself? Are you a top businessman, a good sportsman, the life of every party? And my second question is, what are you doing to actually achieve that? Are you compromising on your beliefs or your values? What are you doing to achieve that definition? I was hoping my man Seb would be here. I don't see him, though. Seb has well-defined abs. Those of you at the men's camp will know that I know that particularly well. Seb has to do various things to maintain that definition. He's really going to hate that he was not here this morning, eh? Speaking about his abs. He has to work out, you know. He has to put in the hard work. He has to make some sacrifices. He has to say no to the fourth helping of potato salad. He has to bypass that dessert table at the buffet. Now, these are fairly good sacrifices. Seb is healthier for it. He looks good. But the point is that for Seb to define his abs, he actually needs to make some conscious decisions. And the same applies to us and our lives and how we want to define ourselves. So while Seb is out making good decisions, good sacrifices, I was making some bad compromises. I grew up with a good moral backing, good values, good understanding of right and wrong. But later in life, I chose to create for myself an identity, contrary to which I believe had been laid out for me. I made friendships with some of the other cooler kids who I believe that's what the world looked up to. And so to achieve that definition, I started to compromise on some of my own beliefs. I intentionally blurred the line between right and wrong. I started to drink alcohol, just at first just enough to, you know, sort of relax a bit, have a bit of fun, act like a fool, you know, a bit of Dutch courage to approach a girl. And then, you know, then I drank enough to wake up in the morning and say I didn't remember what happened the night before. And that was the objective. I started to experiment with marijuana, the gateway drug as it's known. I went from being unwavering in my stance on sex before marriage to actively pursuing sexual encounters. Somehow, I don't know, the Lord definitely had his hand on me, and I was the lucky one, one of the lucky ones. My alcohol abuse stopped short of ever hurting anyone that I know of. My drug use stopped at gateway level, and by some miracle, I was able to stay pure for my wife. So I ask you again, with what are you identifying? And what are you compromising to receive, to achieve that definition? Because ultimately, what you identify with will define you, and what defines you will become your identity. Are you identifying with a group of friends whose defining factors don't line up with what you believe? Are you employing unsound business practices to get ahead, to get that car, to buy that house? Are you pursuing relationships that are leading you to make decisions that are contrary to what you know to be right? I believe if we're doing any one of these things, we have believed the lie that says we need to create our identity rather than receive it. But there's good news for us here this morning. If you're a Christian, if you've been born again, you have a new identity, a born identity. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun." Our identity, our new identity, must give rise to a new way of thinking about ourselves, which in turn will give rise to a new way of behaving. Notice that in the scripture, Paul doesn't command us to behave in a certain way to become something that we're not. Rather, he commands us to remember who we are in Christ and to think and live according to that. You know, perhaps the story I shared with you is mild for you. Perhaps you've done far worse. And maybe in your mind you believe that you're stuck with that identity, that there's no way to come back from that. You're a slut because you slept with countless people. You're a thief because you passed a bit of money under the table during a business deal. Or you'll never amount to anything because that's what your father kept telling you. I'll read it again. Your old life is currently experiencing technical difficulty and will resume shortly. No, your old life is gone. A new one has begun. The challenge is, do we believe that? You are not the sum of your past failures. You are an unfathomable equation of exponential potential. Oh, that's a fun thing to say. Say it with me. You are an unfathomable equation of exponential potential. That's kingdom maths right there. And the challenge, as I say, is to actually believe that. You see, for me, it took me a while to really get that. At school, I'm sure it sort of won't be difficult for you to imagine this, but oral presentations and speaking in front of a crowd were not really a thing that got me too worked up. I was fairly comfortable with that. I remember at primary school, we used to have these things like work displays. I think most of you will know them, where sort of a selection of work gets chosen. It gets put up in the hall, and the parents and pupils mill around and ooh and ah at everything that's been done. And I recall doing a project, I'm not too sure what it was about, probably ostriches or something like that. And myself and I think two others, there were three of us, we had been chosen just to stand up and stand on stage in this evening while the people were sort of walking around, and just to present pages of our project. Very random thing to do, but the point is just that, you know, I was confident in my ability to speak, in front of crowds, and it just really it wasn't a hassle for me, even at a young age. And so fast forward about 14 years, and at the risk of making God sound like a TV remote, I'd found him, lost him, and found him again in that sort of period. And I was now standing in front of a crowd of about 20 or so men as a born again Christian. And this was at one of my best friend's bachelor parties. So of course I was, as is customary, I was telling some other dirty joke. And by the time I got to the punchline, I just couldn't find it. I looked everywhere for that thing, but there was no punchline at that party. There was punch, but no punchline. So I can't actually even remember what I did. I think I sort of fumbled for my piece of paper, got it out, and kind of tried to stumble through a moment that had obviously lost all its momentum. Now that sort of seems like a silly example. There was no real harm done. I was a bit embarrassed. Unfortunately, it was early in the evening, so most of the guys would have remembered it. But what happened in that one moment practically erased an entire portion of my identity that I had created for myself. This was who I was. This was a piece of me. And if I'm not that now, then who am I? So as a result, I actually came into this church with a very low confidence. It was sort of, the timing was about right that we left a previous church and came here. And there's a few, I think Quibus and Rosalda and Dion and Quibble know they were in our first cell group, but in that group I was chipstill. I didn't pray, I hardly contributed, wouldn't ask any questions, didn't voice my opinions, sort of for fear of blanking out again, or saying something that just made no sense. And that was, that's a far cry from the boy who stood on stage telling people about ostriches. So eventually what happened, though, was I started to believe in myself again. I started to believe my exponential potential. As a new creation, I had received a new family. A family that could affirm me, a place where I could grow, an environment that nurtured my rehabilitation. I had a new father who said that I was amazing. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." I'm a freaking masterpiece. It's the truth. And please don't mistake my confidence for arrogance. I believe this is what it should look like to walk in your born identity. Confidence in our identity as sons and daughters of Christ. Confident in our God-given talents and abilities. And through this, we'll be able to effectively play out the good things he has planned for us. And do you know what the result was of me believing this? Really starting to believe this message that I was a masterpiece. I went from cowering in the corner at cell to leading my own cell group. I went from keeping my prayers locked up in my head all to myself to joining prayer meetings, seeking opportunities to actually pray and contribute. And I took the fear of blanking out, scoped it in the backside, picked up the mic and started speaking. And again, I'm not rattling off a list of my achievements to show off and say what I've accomplished. I'm just trying to illustrate what's possible when we get this thing. When we get this thing about God being our identity, or having our identity found in him, and we start to walk in that. I'm passionate about this message because it really changed my life. It set me free, and I know it can do the same for you. So I'm keeping it short today. I don't want to bombard you with 100 things. It's a sort of a message, as I remember, as I was kind of going through and working this, I had pages and pages of different stuff and lots of different focuses that I could have really highlighted, but I've just gone with a simple thing. So I'm ending off with this already, and I'm just going to recap what I've said this morning, how we can practically start to live out this born identity. So number one is to evaluate your life. Find out what you're identifying with and at what cost. Are you trying to be someone you're not? And are you trying not to be someone who you are? And if you find things that you don't like, I want you to leave them behind. Another way to find out who you are is to ask yourself whose you are. Are you living for the world? Your selfish desires, are you only pleasing yourself? Or are you a servant of the Lord? And once you're established that, if you're a Christian, if you've been born again, I want you to start believing that the old is gone and the new has come. The new has begun. Stop hanging on to that old identity. You are so much more than that, but you have to decide to believe it. And if you've not yet made that commitment to the Lord, and you're tired of trying to prove yourself to the world, you're tired of trying to just seek affirmation from others, then this morning you have an opportunity to bury that old life and begin a new one. We have a couple coming to our house later who are being baptized in our 15 degrees Celsius pool. They're making a commitment to the Lord before friends and family, and they're going to leave their old life in the pool. Not surprised, it's probably going to freeze to death, but I'm just scaring Christy there. She's very scared of my cold pool. And they're going to start living and walking in a new life. They are new creations. And you, this morning, can start that same journey. And lastly, the third thing is to claim the title of masterpiece. It's not arrogance, it's spiritual confidence. You are perfectly created as you are to do the good things that God has planned for you. So I'm going to hand over to Andre now. He's going to just lead us in a time of ministry. I've kept it nice and short, so you can really, you've got time to respond. I want you to just to really let the band can come forward. Thanks, Dion. Just let that message sink in. Just remember those 3 points. If you're writing those things down, I want you to really remember them. As I say, it's a simple message, and I believe it can really change your life if you just let it happen. Amen.
Amen. Give him a hand. Thanks, JP. What he shared on is key. Even last night, I was just sitting and there are three areas that the enemy messes with us. The first one is what he's been speaking of, is your identity. The enemy will attack your identity, so lies around your identity. The second area is lies about who God is. So the enemy will tell you, well, God isn't good to you. So that's an area of lie. Lie to you would be the things that he spoke of. And a third area there is lies, is the will of God. What is the will of God? And so often we receive lies that says to us, well, no, it isn't God's will to bless me, or it isn't God's will to come through for me. And so we disconnect from God. So those three areas. But specifically in your identity, the moment you are disconnected in your identity, you lose your confidence, you lose your boldness, as JP said, you shut down. And so you literally need to start saying what he put on the screen there. You need to start declaring, you need to confess. The scriptures say, do not lose the confidence of your confession. Come boldly to the throne of God. It speaks of, do not lose the confidence of your confession. So you need to say it. You need to stand in front of the mirror, and you need to speak to that mirror. When was the last time you spoke to your mirror good stuff? And it's not arrogance. It's just agreeing with God. So often the Lord has spoken to me and said, just agree with me. Just agree with what I am saying. That's not arrogance. It's just confidence. So you need to start saying, I am a masterpiece. I am perfectly created for the will of God. So let's say that. I am a masterpiece, perfectly created for my destiny. Please stand with me. About 6 years ago, I was sort of lost my way in my identity with God, or my identity in general. And I remember we were driving to Neisner on holiday, and as we were driving back, I was sort of doing an admin job. I was in the ministry, but wasn't really. I've lost my confidence, lost my hope, lost my faith. And I remember driving home with my wife, and just suddenly the presence of God just filled the car. Just the presence of God flooded the vehicle, and I just started to weep before God as He started to speak to me. And it was like I was in this very, very bad space. I was believing all these lies about who I am and where I'm going, and I've lost my hope, I've lost my confidence. And then suddenly God pitches and He speaks to me. And He says to me, I'm going to transform you. You will not recognize yourself in a few years' time. And that's exactly what God did. The next place we stopped, I got out a pen or something. I just wrote down everything I felt God was saying. But He was saying, I'm going to transform your identity. I'm going to transform who you are. And then I'm going to transform what's around you. Everything starts from here. Who you are in Him. And so some of us need that prophetic word. You actually just need God to speak to you, to speak into your identity, and to transform you, to set you free. And that's what I want to pray for this morning. I want to pray and trust that God's going to speak to us and reveal to us who we are in Him. It is completely transforming when you see yourself as God sees you.